opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Up to the sky, mama, don't ask why. In these dark and lonely times, we go turn the tide. If you're looking for a sign, turn and look inside of you. Your body is a temple, your sweat is holy water. Every move you're making is praise unto the master, yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 28th of October, 2025, and you are on the clock with Caribbean Green. Today we are all Caribbean, right? Like today we sit in prayer, praying for Jamaica, Hispaniola, Cuba, as this monster of a storm passes over them. We owe it to them. We have an obligation to them because we pray that their islands will weaken the storm to protect us. We should spend today thinking about what it is our brothers and sisters around us in the Caribbean are dealing with. Good morning. Good morning. We're talking headlines. We're talking what's in the news today. Call in if you want. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. 242-300-5720 is toll-free for Family Island listeners and callers. You could text in as well if you'd like, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. There's lots in the paper today. We have stories, a story coming out of Jamaica about the storm. Andrew Holness, I saw a clip of him. I saw the clip this morning addressing the storm, and the quote I captured was, "No infrastructure can withstand a Category 5 storm. No infrastructure can withstand a Category 5 storm." It's good to have this on the record because there's only one response, there's only one appropriate response to this, which is we need to focus entirely on building our resilience so that we can withstand Category 5 storms, that our infrastructure has been built in a way that understands the nature of Category 5 storms and provides protection or an effective solution to the problems that they cause. No infrastructure can withstand a Category 5 storm. Let us continue to pray for Jamaica, Hispaniola, and Cuba. Producer, we can go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Green. Ms. Green, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Right. That statement is not altogether true with the, that no building can withstand a Category 5 storm. Remember back in the day in Yellow Elder, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had those round ugly houses where everyone used to drive past and laugh at.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? They had no zero overhang rate, and they were round. It looked like the, we used to call them the Smurf house.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? They still up.
And listen,
there is absolutely no wind lift. And plus also, I'll give you another. You realize in the Bay Street area, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the buildings have A roofs with no overhang.
Mm-hmm. So the wind won't catch it.
The wind itself has, the building itself, the roof itself has no lift. Because there's no roof to overhang for the wind to get under and lift it. So there is no lift to it. And the roundhouses, right, the wind actually goes straight around it in a circle motion.
Listen, you remember the scripture, you know, you remember the scripture that say, if you give the devil an inch, he'll take your whole roof?
Yep.
There you go. Yep, there are building techniques that are being employed locally, you know, in Eleuthera and modern day, because those Yellow Elder homes, they haven't built any more of those in Yellow Elder, right? They stopped building them, what, 4 decades ago?
Yeah, they ugly as hell, though. Boy, they ugly.
They're not ugly, they're just not decorated properly. But those homes, a lot of people are constructing those homes in Eleuthera right now. And so
like I say, probably to me they're not aesthetically pleasing. There is a way that you could make it. I guess it's optional. It's opinion wise.
Right. I feel what you're saying in terms of the aesthetics of it, right?
But yeah, aesthetics. It adds a little more aesthetics to it and I guess dress it up in some way. Boy, I don't know. I don't like them. But it's safe.
If it's the safest, here's my thing. If it's the safest option, that's the option that we're going to go for.
Yeah, it is the safest option. No overhang and a circular building.
Right, so there's nothing for the wind to catch.
Nope.
That's why I round. Y'all thought I just didn't care. I have a plan. My plan is to be uncatchable. And
that's ungovernable. Your statement wasn't altogether true.
Well, no, that's the quote. Remember, this is a quote from Andrew Holness. And I'm saying if a regional leader suggests this, right, then it's time for us to focus as a single jurisdiction and as a collection called CARICOM on changing building codes to meet the immediate future. Thank you very, very much.
One more slight thing before I go.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to actually ask our physical planning about crawl spaces and basements. But the problem with that is the flooding situation with that. But you'd be safe with the wind.
Yeah.
Because they normally use that in tornado areas.
And we've seen an increase in tornadic activity. So that's not that's a conversation that should be on the table.
Iron sharpen iron.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So yesterday I saw this story. I'm looking for this in today's paper. So yesterday I saw this story where they said the Crooked Island had been experiencing power woes for a number of days. And I think the story was posted on Monday, so written on Sunday. As the story was being written, a new gen was on its way to Crooked Island. In today's Guardian, power restored on Crooked Island after days-long outage. BPL said yesterday that power was restored to Crooked Island following an outage that lasted near 2 power generation units malfunctioned on October 19th and 21st. According to BPL, it said a replacement unit arrived and was brought online at noon yesterday. The company said it located a replacement unit on Wednesday and it was shipped on Friday, but there were delays due to weather conditions. The power restoration comes ahead of the arrival of Hurricane Melissa, which is expected to impact Inagua, Mayaguan, along Key Ragged Island and Island. BPL said, quote, with the island preparing for the potential impact of Hurricane Melissa, restoring power ahead of the storm's arrival was paramount. Close quotes. The company apologized to customers and thanked them for their patience during the outage. Our thoughts and prayers remain with them and all islands in the path of Hurricane Melissa as we prepare to weather the storm together. Close quotes, BPL said. Well, now I figure out what it means to be an old person, right? Because the feeling hit me when I read that story. And I thought if I was the boat captain yesterday when I saw the story, I was turning the boat right around. Now, I agree. Preparing for a storm with electrical supply is easier than preparing for a storm without electrical supply. Because how do I charge up my devices to have use of during the storm? But then I keep thinking of what Holness said. No infrastructure can withstand a Category 5. Again, this calls for us to seriously reconsider Mind you, there should be a constant assessment of the building codes and whether there's a need to enhance them, right? But I'm not sure we understand what it means to build resilience. After reading the Abaco shelter story yesterday and realizing that the article is telling us, right? I haven't confirmed it myself. The article says construction completed on Abaco shelter. The building is roughly 12,000 square feet and about 2 feet above sea level. I'm not sure we're building resilience. It can withstand 200 mile per hour winds, right? Can do that. The DRM managing director says, quote, this is one of the higher points in Marsh Harbor, Abaco. So if flooding happens here, then we have another major challenge. We wouldn't even activate this. We would have to evacuate people out of Marsh Harbor, Abaco. Why did you only build it about 2 feet above sea level? Here's the next thing. Let's get to this Guardian article, Get Out, Government Issues Evacuation Order for Southeast Bahamas Ahead of Melissa. You all ever seen a text wave at you? This text wanted my attention. So here it is. It says, that's actually not true. Many structures in Abaco survived Dorian. There was one extraordinary case of the gentleman whose house was built on stilts, and the house itself was built like a fortress. Okay. So, I think it's possible that they could be true at the same time. I bet you that house in Abaco was built with Abaco rock and Abaco pine. There are many structures in the Bahamas that still stand after enduring repeated storms because they were built a particular way with particular materials. And I think that needs to be a part of the conversation as well in terms of the need to reassess our building code. Andrus rock and Andrus pine, Abaco rock and Abaco pine, right? These were, I don't know if I could say staples, but they were traditions, even if they were small. Here's another text. I remembered Hurricane David in 1980 had winds of 175 miles per hour with higher gusts, of course. Got you. I do not remember Hurricane David. I think I may be, you know, lucky. Sometimes a bad memory is a good thing. So let's get to the article in today's Guardian, Get Issues Evacuation Order for Southeast Bahamas Ahead of Melissa. The government has issued an evacuation order for residents in the Southeast Bahamas ahead of Hurricane Melissa, the strongest storm of the year, which threatens to pass over parts of the Bahamas this week. At last report, Melissa was a powerful Category 5 storm with winds up to 175 miles an hour. The storm is expected to be a powerful Category 2 storm when it heads to the Bahamas on Wednesday. Officials said last night that 1,400 residents from Managua, Acklands, Crooked Island, Mayaguana, and Ragged Island are expected to be transported to New Providence. As of Monday evening, officials from the Disaster Risk Management Authority confirmed that 274 evacuees from Managua and 100 evacuees from Acklands arrived in the capital looking for shelter or seeking shelter. Quote, following the advice of the DRM Authority and the Bahamas Department of Meteorology, my government has decided to issue formal evacuation notices for residents in the islands of, again, Inagua, Acklands, Crooked Island, and Ragged Island. PM Davis said, quote, this notice is being issued out of an abundance of caution to ensure that those most at risk can be safely relocated before conditions worsen. Close quotes. Tropical storm and hurricane conditions are expected in the Southeast Bahamas on Tuesday and in the Central Bahamas on Wednesday through Thursday. Crooked Island and Auckland's are expected to receive the brunt of the storm. Quote, I'll also indicate that we have likewise issued a disaster risk management declaration of disaster alert for the central and southeast Bahamas, Davis said. Quote, that is just an alert to those islands about the possibility of disaster coming their way. Close quotes. I want to stick a pin. This is where, like, procedure is very important, right? The declaration of disaster alert and the evacuation order work together, right? Like, they have to have a declaration of disaster, I think, before they could evoke. The evacuation order protocol is important. He added, quote, all government systems are now operating under the National Disaster Response Framework. The Disaster Risk Management Authority is coordinating directly with the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, Royal Bahamas Police Force, Family Island Administrators, Public Hospitals Authority, the Ministry of Works, Ministry of Social Services, and Bahamas Power and Light, close quotes. Davis said supplies have been deployed to islands in need. Air and maritime assets are in place for transport and evacuation, and shelters across the affected islands are now operational. Quote, we have 5 aircraft that will be leaving New Providence tomorrow morning, commencing at 5 a.m. I think that's today. DRM Managing Director Aaron sang a second press briefing yesterday evening. Evacuations will continue through Tuesday. However, officials are urging residents to take heed as there will be a cutoff point after which flights will stop and emergency assistance will cease until an all clear is given. This is where the island administrators and local government, this is their time to shine. Having identified all of the residents on the island, right? People travel for business, they travel for medical care, they travel for banking. They have to identify who is on the island. Are they aware of the conditions developing around them? Are they aware of the disaster alert and the evacuation order? Do they have the capacity to prepare themselves for evacuation? Do they need assistance? Do they need assistance getting to the airport? Identifying on keys that may have limited communications. Now is the time for local government and island administrators for them to on their capes and shine. Mandatory evacuation orders have been issued for vulnerable coastal areas in the country, with residents living in low-lying, flood-prone areas being transported to emergency shelters. Here's a text. That was my question. Why was the singular shelter built in Marsh Harbor? It's a marsh. Why didn't they build it in a location with more elevation? Certainly evacuating 10 to 20 miles up the road on a 10-foot rise is better than 2 feet. I still find it odd that Inagua and not Long Island was evacuated. Were the planes chartered by a PLP supporter? Yes, I know. I would find that very odd, too. Wow, yeah. And I tell you what, I've heard firsthand accounts of people who want to walk in. Are we concerned about the psychological health of our residents as well? Here we go. The Bahamas Building Code is designed for Cat 5 hurricanes. Are all of the buildings that are being used as hurricane shelters built to that code, though? Right? Some of the buildings are older and we know sturdier than some newer construction, but are they all built for Cat 5? And after we've experienced a Cat 5, do we need to enhance those regulations even for just a Cat 5? So here's what also interested me as of the time, let's prep the caller. As the time the story was being prepped, there were 274 evacuees from Inagua and 100 evacuees from Auckland's. 1,400 people expected to be evacuated. Only creating shelters that could fit max 400 to 800 people. Good morning, caller.
And Aaron, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Aaron, I'm doing great. Let me just say, as I did this morning on Dwight Strong's show, you know, hurricane shelters still, although the current administration has completed the one, I think.
Nassau Village?
No, in Abaco, I think.
Now, when you say completed and I say completed and they say completed, we mean different things. But yes, there is a story in Friday's Guardian, construction completed on Abaco Shelter.
Abaco, right. That was the one I think that was started under the FNM administration.
Under the Minnis administration in December 2020.
Okay. Let me continue this. Going forward now, that's only one. Yes, the one in Nassau Village under Jamal Strong. Yes, I know about that one as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think going forward, we need to get really serious about true hurricane shelters, not schools, but places truly designated just for hurricane shelters in principle. When we start looking at these buildings, we have to consider the models that have been used in decades past, such as round buildings instead of square buildings or rectangular buildings, roofs that are double or triple strapped, and also being buildings that is able to accommodate the most of the residents. And I'm looking specifically at the Southern Islands, in the Michael, Long Island, in Inagua, that area in particular. We have a demographics there, and we know the numbers or the numbers close to the amount of persons in those areas. We need now to consider, if we're going to house these persons, then we need to make adequate space. Now, the Prime Minister has given a directive to remove all of the persons as much as possible from those islands and bring them here to New Providence. But if we were to construct an adequate facility where these persons, those numbers in particular, focus on that those persons can be housed, we pick a ground where it's high enough, dry enough, solid enough, We build these structures, then we would not have to evacuate those persons into Nassau in the manner that we are doing. So instead of being progressive in our thinking, we're still almost at mediocrity stage. We have to progress this country. We're spending huge amounts of monies that we can ill afford right now in having to do things two times, three times, four times over. We need to get very strategic. We need to get very succinct. We have to get very serious about what it is that we're doing and do it right the first time.
Absolutely.
So my closing remarks is simply this, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
We have 700 islands, rocks and keys. We're spread across how many hundreds of miles? We need to get very strategic in our thinking. If we've got these monies, and these are taxpayers' dollars now, then we need to get very serious on how we do things in this country. And so, well, I'm just putting it out there to get our Bahamian people to think. This thing is no longer political. This thing is no more party or whatever. We have a country to build. Let's get serious about building this country and stop fooling around. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
Absolutely. Jeff, if you weren't so resolute and serious this morning, I was going to ask you what we could do with this $1.4 million we just found. What we could do with that? I have a text here that says, morning, Aaron, can you tell me if us here in Nassau are going to have any rain, please. All right, so I have the weather report, the week forecast. Today is Tuesday. Today, weather outlook. Let's see what day we've got. Extended forecast for Tuesday, the 28th. Sky conditions, partly cloudy. That's northern and northwest Bahamas. Precipitation for northern and northwest Bahamas, 30 to 40% chance of scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. Let's prep the caller for the extended forecast for Wednesday tomorrow. Precipitation for northern and northwest, 40% chance of scattered showers. That means Igorine. And if you stay on the road long enough, you could get wet somewhere on New Providence. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green again. Hey, please tell the MPs on those islands, right? Please don't tell the constituencies go in the cave.
No, because now they're mandatory evacuation orders, right? And I'm not sure if the cave, you know what, that's why I wish I could pull up that list on my cell phone, you know. I don't know if the caves is on the mandatory shelter list. Producer, if you can, or anybody listening, can you go to getready.gov.bs? That's GETREADY.GOV.BS. Getready.gov.BS. It's not an election site. It's not an election site. It is a hurricane disaster DRM site. It is a DRM, Disaster Risk Management Authority site, and there is a shelter list there. Let's see if the caves are on the list, because I doubt they didn't put the caves on the list. So no MPs could be telling people go to caves. Unless, of course, the government decides that we're actually going to assess the viability, right? A formal technical assessment of the viability of the use of caves for storms moving in particular ways, right? If we do that, then maybe. Because that's the same thing with the building, right? Like, let's examine and investigate the old technique to see how much of it we need to bring to the present. In terms of that rainfall forecast for northern and northwest Bahamas, we shall see anywhere from 30 to 40% to 20 to 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms through the week. Let's go to the caller, and then I got to ask, what are we going to do with this $1.4 million? We just fine. Pun intended. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Yes. Hi. Hello, hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I had a great laugh just now with the cave, but I mean, you know, to use what's geographically there.
Mm-hmm.
Desperate measures and desperate times, you know.
Which is, I agree, 52. There's got to be value in it, but we got to make a technical assessment, right?
Yeah,
And put it on the wall. That's all.
Yeah, but I like what Jeff said, because, you know, evacuation seems kind of totalitarian and it's authoritarian in a way. But what I mean is, let's use some common sense here. With Hurricane Machu, right? That came at you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You notice that if I could remember well, I had actually plotted it, but I can't remember that I actually plotted it longitude last year. But I think the eye, portion of the eye, might have hit the southwestern New Providence,
mm-hmm.
right, as it moved over, because you would have noticed most of the houses on the southwest coast and southern coast were damaged by winds. So some of these people still ain't fixed their roofs yet.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't lambast the government for evacuating the people. It's the fact that on the outer islands, the houses are sparse, they are spaced out. And so as the winds come in, you don't have any resistance, you know, even though some of the land and the masses are low-lying. But what I did notice about Machu was the fact that houses in the inner city, like the Grammy house that has a hip roof, mm-hmm. which a lot of triangles on it, I don't know, maybe a carpenter could say, I think it's pitched, but actually they get excited me, but 30 degrees or less or whatever, 30 degrees. A certain degrees means that it's more, is at an angle and it's low, so it actually resists the wind much more. No shingle came off the houses. And
mm-hmm.
so what I looked at is, because they're saying poor people, houses in the inner city that are fused together, and the homestead has a lot of trees, big palm trees around it, trees actually help. So if we think, try to conceive how ancient people or people did it in the past, like, the Indians actually went in the bushes and carved out the area, and they actually used the trees to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
So it may seem primitive, but, you know, basically, people on the coastline, they have the most to be aware of, because
they have the greatest
risk. Much damage in the inner city at all. I mean, they talk about the people, some of the shacks still
standing. Yeah,
but God is on our side, so don't commit suicide. Give thanks. Yeah,
absolutely, and we're all on your side. Whoever you are, we all are. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. It's always a pleasure to hear you.
Same here, Uncle.
Yeah, man, you do a good job. But Aaron, you know the gentleman, you want to know if we can do without 1.5 or 2. I don't know how much it is. But I want to bring something out to you.
Mm-hmm.
You would agree with me that the gentleman had his travel plans delayed, correct?
Yes.
Yes, okay, stay right there now.
Yeah.
Stay with me. Now, remember, I was telling you about the events that happened during Mercury retrograde,
mm-hmm.
starting November 9th.
Mm-hmm.
It affects your travel plans. Now, he's feeling a retrograde right now that's out of his world.
Yeah.
Because it is a time to pause and reflect and say, I wonder what I did wrong.
Yeah.
And guess what? You know what these fellas do? They go and figure out how they can do it again without getting catch.
That's something.
You see what Mercury? Mind you, Mercury's not having this effect on us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it seems that when Mercury pauses for a while, we seem to have communication glitches, tech mix-up, relationship, all that seems to just go to a little exponential level. That's
mm-hmm.
all.
Yeah, that's all.
I've been watching this close, but we could use that money for a lot of purposes because a lot of people here right now are hurting. And I think it's a good move that the court made in making this fine gentleman pay. He should have paid more because we need social services need the money. The politicians need the money to campaign.
The dialysis clinic need the money.
You could continue the list. So look, when mm-hmm. we find them like that, don't lock them up with their money. Do what the big boys do. Take the money from them.
Isn't that what Sir Stafford Sand said? Let them come and drain them dry before they leave.
But why we ain't doing more of that?
I don't know. I do not know. But thank you very much. I'm going to ponder on it in the next few callers, and then I go read this article because some things are crimes for some people, and for other people, those things are just things that you cannot afford to do. Well, I can. That's all. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Madam Green. How are you?
I am good, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful. A little concerned by the Riddler. The Riddler has killed me. The Riddler. I call him the Riddler.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Listen. I'm glad to hear your voice this morning. I heard your voice on a newscast last night, and you were talking about I don't know how to call it, something that happened at the dialysis clinic?
All the time.
Could you?
Yeah, Madam Green. About three and a half years ago, we were confronted with new registration procedures at the dialysis clinic in that they are now requesting that the patients pay $275 per treatment, which is three times a week. Okay? That's roughly $800. Yeah. Now, the patients there, out 9.5 out of 10 patients at dialysis are old and very sickly mm-hmm. and can't work.
Okay?
Now, let's put some clarification for this. Myself and Aaron Green are diagnosed with renal failure, and we are sent to PMH, the public hospital. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the public hospital find out I got one too many people. So we can get rid of Aaron and we can send her to the private clinic. Okay, well, you listen to me close out there.
Mm-hmm.
They send Aaron to the private clinic for the same treatment that I am getting at PMH. However, the government pays 100% for Aaron to be at the private clinic because they have no space at PMH. But then they turn around and try and attack me, Chief Sink and Goldskin, at the PMH department, $275. That's all I got right here, Chris.
Not at all. But is it $275 per session? So if you say you go three times a week, that's just under $900 a week in dialysis care, and that's just the session.
That is what they're trying to do. They implemented it, but me and God rest his soul, Bucket, got to the Prime Minister and the Minister of Health, and they was able to refute that back then. But there is some unscrupulous persons in the department here in that banking on that little couple of dollars to put in their pocket.
Oh, okay, hold on. Let's be careful.
Well, I ain't call nobody name.
I know you ain't call nobody name, but let's be careful. In the interest of...
Well, we got some unscrupulous people trying to do a resurgence
in that
they're taking advantage of the newer customers that wasn't around when Dr. Davalem said you cannot charge those dialysis patients. So they pull in the patients on the side and say, you got anything to put on your bill? And that needs to be looked into.
All right. So you're saying there was a policy decision earlier in the Davis administration to not charge dialysis patients?
Yes. It was said from the House of Assembly that if they don't have you know, ain't got no money, man. You're not be waking. You cannot charge them.
So do me a favor. Try and get me a date for that, so I could have that article in hand. And then, so the next thing you do, you have the article in hand that identifies when the statement was made, and then we're going to ask PHA and the Ministry of Health and Wellness and the Prime Minister's Office to issue another policy statement clarifying what's supposed to be happening in the dialysis unit at PHA, at PMH.
But Evan Green, thanks for letting me share. But one thing I'm not that scared of it is hurricane.
Yeah, and what happens for patients? Yeah.
The place in the leaking. All down the wall and thing when it rained. So I'm scared for this hurricane to come.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
Anyway.
Listen, so do me a favor. Connect me. Send me a message. Connect me to the local dialysis organization or any organizations that advocate for or provide support.
Okay, I'll get the Mikadem number.
All right, thank you. You got a text, and it says, thanks to GNN, we need a dialysis analysis. We do. Without a doubt, we do. Here's another text. I worked in power plant room in Atlantis. I noticed that there was a red carpet hallway for all those rich yacht owners who all step off the huge yachts and into the hotel, more than likely without any scrutiny. So why are we surprised? Guns, drugs, these things don't have a face. Anyone can be doing this. And I realize you all missed the play. I'm half glad because I don't want you all to be involved in skullduggery. I don't want you all to be involved in crime. I don't want you all to be involved in badness. But more importantly, you're bad at it. You're bad at it. You're not good at it. So don't even try, right? Don't try. Just put it down. Just put it down. Let's get to this story quickly. I know we're running out of time. Oh, wait, I've got more texts. Here's one. Wow. When the former minister made the comment about going in the caves, I'm told by an elderly man from Crooked Island who said that the caves was where they would always take shelter when... Oh, no, I am not dismissing the effectiveness of the cave shelter at all. What I'm saying is, let's get serious. You see, when I think it was Alfred Gray, when he cracked that joke, he was cracking a joke. He wasn't speaking seriously about hurricane strategies. He was joking and joshing because you feel good when you collect those salaries and you don't have to do anything. What I'm saying is, if we believe and we know the effectiveness of the caves, then we need to have studies to show that viability and effectiveness, right? And then we need to create an actual policy. Because now that we have the disaster alert and the evacuation order, if the cave is not on the evacuation shelter list, right, the shelter list, then it's against the law for you to go to the cave. Yeah? I'm not saying discounting the value of the cave. I mean, if the cave is effective, then let's incorporate it properly into our strategy. So here we go. Rich businessman evades jail for guns on yacht. A wealthy businessman escaped a mandatory prison term for firearm offenses and was instead fined $1.4 million yesterday after admitting to bringing 14 guns and more than 1,000 rounds of ammunition into the Bahamas aboard his yacht in Bimini last week. If it were me, I would have told the judge. I just spent the last month watching Shark Week videos, and I watched the Megalodon video, and I'm not taking any risks in Bahamian waters. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Mr. Green again.
Good morning, sir. Yes.
The man who escaped the jail thing, right? You know why? I tell people, you know why? Never know, that might be always on the books that you could actually pay a fine.
You know, listen.
But the problem is, who you know got $1.4 million in the closet? On the Nike box.
I know when Bayou said. He found some money in a briefcase in the closet one time, but that's a long time. I can't even remember that story. Thank you very, very much. But listen, I can read that sentence again. A wealthy businessman escaped a mandatory prison term. That in and of itself is gold. Do we have a cultural? Do you know we just had the cultural award show? Was there a category for literature for literature, what if a businessman escaped a mandatory prison term? How do you escape a mandatory prison term if it's mandatory? What type of precedent are we setting? A wealthy businessman escaped a mandatory prison term for firearm offenses and was instead fined $1.4 million yesterday after admitting to bringing 14 guns and more than 1,000 rounds of ammunition into the Bahamas aboard his yacht in Bimini last week. Also, how did your case get to court so quickly? We got a young man who did something, I mean, he did something devastated. He should have gotten, what that is, 39 years? He should have gotten 39 years, but he got 20 years. And he's still arguing that his sentence should be reduced because it took so long for his case to get to court. Let's prep the caller. The fine handed down by Magistrate Lennox Colby comes despite a 2021 Court of Appeal ruling that magistrates have no authority to impose non-custodial sentences for firearm-related offenses. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
How you doing, Aaron?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. So I'm hoping that the error is in the reporting. I'm hoping and praying that the error is in the reporting.
Mm-hmm.
It's mandatory it shouldn't have been in the reporting. That's where the error is. So fingers crossed that's where the error is, because it can't be. They need to go back to Parliament and rewrite the law if that's the case.
Well,
the next sitting.
I think the second paragraph speaks to the nuance that you're pointing out.
Yes.
It says the fine handed down comes despite a 2021 Court of Appeal ruling that magistrates have no authority to impose non-custodial sentences for firearm-related offenses. So perhaps it's possible that a fine could be applicable, right? Could be
right.
Applied, but just not in this court by a magistrate.
Okay, I figure there are some nuances in there somewhere, because they can't play us. They shouldn't be playing us like that. Aaron.
That is just... I want to tell them every day, I'm the comedian. Let me tell the jokes.
Yes, exactly.
You tell,
okay, thank you.
Yes, sir, thank you. Let's go to the next caller, and then we got a few more texts to go. Good morning, caller.
Can you help me?
Yes, that's you. Blessings.
Blessings to you also, and of course, your family.
Thank you.
You know something?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, my thought got away. But the thing is... Yes, if that were a small man, they would have charged you just like they charged you. I know, I remember one time when I could have seen, they just heard I had a gun, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When I went to court, they charged me, plus give me 2 months in prison. So I'm just nasty, 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 nasty. That's why I don't respect them.
I hear you.
Thank you.
I hear you, Bremen. I hear you. It's not aware of itself or its impact on the spaces that it occupies sometimes. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron Green.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good, good man. How you do?
Yeah, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
What you was just talking about a while ago?
The businessman and the fine.
Right, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
If we were people who was looking for confirmation between the classes, right,
uh-huh.
When it relates to rich and poor,
mm-hmm.
Right, that statement you read is a clear case of that there's classes, because for whoever you are to be caught with evidence. Jailable.
Remember when it was right. A year per bullet?
Right.
Remember when there was a law that said you get a year per bullet? Yeah.
And all of them got squashed, because I still believe lawyers need crimp tire, man need blown tires, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why everything works out, because the rules don't fix the tire, man need things. And so the lawyers, they need criminals. This is my view, right, in this country. So we ain't going to get nothing done with them. But the people need to open up their eyes and see that, like, yeah, hey, we have two sets of law, one for the poor and one for the rich, because all of us know especially the poor class payment people know, if that was anybody they knew, with that amount of ammunition, right? There was no way, if they was not connected, that they would have been able to walk out of any police station or cell or jail.
Yeah, I feel you. Because I'm thinking, what would they think? What would they think if they found Aaron Green with 14 guns and 1,000 rounds?
No more. I can tell you that.
Call me Jungle New Aaron.
No,
not at all.
They'll be calling you Cowboy Girl with all the guns.
They may be calling Hoyas Green, something like that. And I don't know anything about no Hoyas. Thank you very, very much for your contribution. Because, you know, it appears that some things are things that you just can't afford to do. That's all it is. You got to get your paper up. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Aaron, it's called the Golden Rule. He who has the gold makes
the rules, eh?
Is this individual, is he put on the stop list? Is he on the stop list?
Let me read through the rest of the article and see if he is on the stop list.
He shouldn't be allowed to
enter the country anymore.
Man,
Yeah, that's something.
That's something, but like you say, money talks, man. Money talks.
Because look here, I have these two stories for today. Deadly attack caught on video and woman after viral video, right? And I was thinking about a conversation acculturating people to this new era of technology. That there's a camera everywhere. There's a camera somewhere. Somebody's always watching. Somebody's always recording, right? A part of it is, because I juxtapose these two stories and I say, if we put him and people like him on a stop list, right, to come to the Bahamas, and the U.S. reciprocated that policy, how many of us, I mean, technically they already reciprocate the policy, you know? They already say, don't talk about our politicians any kind of way, because we are sensitive about our political class and political culture, right? But are people living actively understanding that they are always being watched?
But come on, Aaron. You think the U.S. would be that paid? Now, if somebody has broken the law and said, yes, I mean, the behemoth's on the stop list for violation of overstaying and all these other things and so on and so forth. But, I mean, that is nothing new.
I'm going to do some research, because I remember immediately after Charlie Kirk's assassin, there was a statement issued by the deputy director of the State Department indicating or asking Americans to be on high alert for a social media commentary that spoke derogatorily about Kirk or any U.S. political situation for the purpose of assessing whether that individual's visa or status in the U.S. should be removed, right? So it is happening. The state, the powers that be may not be that touchy, but Americans are very sensitive about their politics right now.
Not Americans, don't say, because all this only came since Trump, he came on the scene.
I feel
this wasn't like this before.
I feel
only since Donald Trump, who was so vindictive and whatnot. It was only him, but anyhow.
I won't talk bad about Donald. Now he's my cousin, like I find out King Charles is my cousin. I gotta moderate my speech. I gotta go hear the last text. Morning. That gun case in Bimini seemed weird. Here's another one. If he is an American, the Trump effect kicked in. Trust me, that's why I believe the fine. What stop list? In fact, he is welcome back with open arms. Caller, I am so sorry. We are all out of time. But there's tomorrow. But before tomorrow, there's the rest of the day. So stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Guardian Radio AM is up next. And then remember, you got Z Live with Zhivago Lang coming up. Z Nation with Zhivago Lang. And then you get Guardian Today. I wonder who's going to be talking to us today. And then, of course, Naughty brings it home from 4 to 6. You guys have a wonderful day. Stay safe. And remember, we're praying for those in the path of Hurricane Melissa. sending all positive energy today. You guys have a great day.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world. See how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.